what are the challenges moving forward to green infrastructure, specifically in urban areas?
Well, one of the main challenges is how do we pay for this? And this needs to come from some sort of tax, maybe like a parcel tax or something. But green infrastructure addresses issues with stormwater and urban runoff. And historically, this is an area that's been underfunded. You and I pay a water bill, we pay a sewer bill, we don't exactly pay a stormwater bill. And so this is probably one of the greatest hurdles. When people understand the advantages of green infrastructure in terms of providing community amenities, literally greening the city, helping to prevent contaminants in entering waterways, there's a lot of support for it. But it's something that's not widely understood or appreciated.
So it's interesting. One of the places that I went for this story was a storm garden into a rain garden where it would fall into a big like trough with plants, with local plants and soil, and then it would go into a rain garden. And the engineer who built it said that if the apartment building, it was at an apartment building, and they said that if the apartment building owner would have had to replace their laterals into the sewer system, it would have cost $10,000. But doing this storm garden to rain garden on both sides of the lawn, it made it look prettier, but it also halved the cost, so they only ended up paying $5,000. Is it possible that some green infrastructure could save cities and residents money?
Well, now that's an example with some sort of retrofit that this person found an alternative that provided a nice garden feature and also saved money as well. So that's definitely a plus. In our parts of the country, and I'm speaking from, you know, the Bay Area in California, we want to try to capture stormwater so it can contribute to our water supply. It becomes a little more challenging in areas where you have storms coming in sort of big events. We call them, well, our winter storms that bring a lot of rain all of a sudden. And sometimes these small systems will get overwhelmed. But the basic idea of thinking both small systems and big systems and how they can work together is a wonderful way of approaching ways to help control pollution and also to use that stormwater to benefit as well.
And is all of this enough? Like, let's say in Milwaukee, they have a green infrastructure plan that they've had, that the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District has had in place since 2013, and the mayor is having a green infrastructure plan. Is all of this enough to deal with heavy rains and the fact that urban areas are becoming kind of concrete jungles?
Well, you've are certainly speaking to a problem there about how to design these so that you can deal with heavy storms. In your part of the country, the issue has to do with combined sewers. That's where storm water and sewage wastewater are together in the same pipe. And so small systems that can hold back the water for a while, think of it as sort of catch and release, those can be very, very beneficial in terms of preventing overflows. Now, here in the West, we would like to capture and use that water. That means percolate it into the ground. So we don't want to do so much capture and release as capture and use. And that requires the systems have a little more regulation in terms of flow management and that they're situated in places where the stormwater can actually percolate.
Are in places like Milwaukee and Midwest and that kind of thing, are there like future ideas that are coming forward that are going to help solve these problems? Any interesting things that you've heard of?
Well, yes. You can look at stadiums, for example, that will capture the runoff. Parks that are modified, so you can capture stormwater and incorporate that into a water feature. That same water can be used for irrigation. So there are things that can be done, and there are examples of this where you can point in the Midwest where these are very practical. At the end of the day, when these are well designed and thought out, these systems almost sell themselves because they look nice, they provide a benefit, and with public education, and Maya, and I would say also signage to explain what this is and what it's doing. That's important as well, and folks then understand, well, this is doing good at the same time that it looks good.
And is there a way to deal with the cost going forward? You would say just taxes?
Well, you have to be able to pay for these systems. Now, if it's a new property or new development or redevelopment, then these the modifications can be incorporated into the building permit. In other words, it says that you have to do this. But the issue is more, what do you do with places that are already built up? And here, you're talking about a retrofit. And so you have to be able to pay for that. A good example is in Los Angeles, the city and county just passed a tax last fall called Measure W, and it applies a small tax on square foot of impervious surface. So depending on your roof area or driveway area, you pay an annual tax. It's not very much, maybe $80 to $100 a year, but when you multiply that by all the homes and businesses in the area, it gives enough money that you can actually think about redesigning the city's hardscape so that you can capture and use stormwater. And again, at the same time, it beautifies the city. And so there are neighborhood the benefits that come with this. It's not something abstract. You know, people can actually go out and see it on their street or in their park.
And would you say that there are any downsides to green infrastructure besides the cost?
Yes, there is. Now, I'm a gardener, so the downside here is, one, maintenance. And just like, you know, you have to, if you have a lawn like you do in the Midwest, you have to mow the lawn, you rake the leaves. You have to do this with green infrastructure. It's not something you put in and forget. They have to be maintained so that the water flows right and that it percolates correctly. And then another issue is out here in the West, and I can point to the Stanford campus where I work as an example of this. If you put in a lot of these small swales that are vegetated, they may not look particularly nice in the dry season. And so you need to think about this, about are you going to be adding water to make this green infrastructure look green in the summer, or are you going to use plants that are appropriate for the area and sort of let them go dry during the summer? At Stanford, we've elected to not do a whole lot of new planting because that's a lot of work, and the way the gardeners like to keep the campus looking is neat and clean and beautiful. So what's done instead is we've designed some large stormwater capture facilities on the east and west side of campus and are using that water for irrigation by storing it in a nearby lake.
And, okay, I have two remaining questions. If there was, like, the hottest new thing when it comes to green infrastructure, like, that could be relevant to the Midwest, is there anything that comes to mind, or do you think Milwaukee is pretty much on top of those things? We've had, like, porous pavement, you know, bioswales.
Well, we are researching ways in which we can design these kinds of systems to do a better job at removing organic contaminants and bacteria and metals from stormwater runoff. And that kind of work is applicable out here in the West and also in the Midwest. And so we can use material like modified sands or biochar as filtering agents to help capture and control organic compounds like pesticides or automotive-related chemicals and metals as well. So that's sort of hottest and newest, I think. But the other one, I'll go back to the parcel tax that they have in Los Angeles, where by a two-thirds majority, the voters in the city of L.A. and county of L.A. said, yes, we need to pay for these kinds of systems to develop this infrastructure, and it has great benefits. In Los Angeles, one of the other benefits that come from all of this is the prevention of beach pollution, which, of course, is important in Southern California. And in the Midwest, in Milwaukee, you could say the same thing. You could say, well, if I capture the stormwater correctly, then I'm preventing combined sewer overflows and I'm protecting Lake Michigan.
And so, I think that's a big component, Lake Michigan and the rivers over here. And then do you think that major flood management projects like big basins that they put in county grounds and, you know, plant with reeds and have those kind of, you know, systems in place are also important part of managing stormwater?
Well, yes. And maybe the way to say it is that there isn't one size fits all, and that what should be done is thinking about a mix of sizes of systems, school grounds, parks, right-of-ways along power lines or big medial strips on boulevards. These are all things that could be repurposed for stormwater capture and use. But it's also important to think at the neighborhood scale, because these, again, are important for public education and public support. So, Mayan, there'll be a mix of sizes here, and it's not going to be all big or all small, but sort of a spectrum.
All right. Well, thanks, Dick Luthy, for speaking to us about this.
Okay. Good luck.